I think of the day I met Jesus. He gave me a reason to sing. For everything changed in a moment. How I praise Him, my Savior and King.
Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven, my guilt was all gone, transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment, moment of time.
The door is still open to heaven. The Lord will forgive you today.
Receive His free gift of salvation. He will take all your burdens away.
Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven. My guilt was all gone. Transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment, moment of time.
Everything changed.
Everything changed in a moment of time.
Amen. Thank you, folks, this morning. Romans chapter 5. Find that place in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and then you come to the book of Romans, chapter 5. When you find it there in just a moment, then I'll ask you to stand, and we will read some verses together, Romans chapter 5, and take our text and our message today from this passage in this book. The book of Romans is a very interesting book. A lady in the church at Centuria took the epistle to the church at Rome in her arm and transported it from where she was to the church at Rome. It may be the pinnacle of doctrinal letters in all of the New Testament, and a woman carried it under her robe or in her arms from one place to another. You know, God is powerful enough to give us Scripture. He's powerful enough to preserve that Scripture. And I'm thankful for it. Let's stand together, please. I sound awfully loud to myself this morning. It sounds funny. So, Brother Greg, if you can help us there. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 6. Follow along. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." My title this morning is Salvation is Much More. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your book. Thank You for giving us Your book, for preserving it for us. We can hold it in our hands this morning and claim that we know we have the Word of God. So would You please open our hearts to it this morning, enlighten us, teach us. Father, if there's someone in the crowd today that's lost without Christ, I pray that the drawing work of the Holy Spirit would take place. That person would be drawn to Christ. May all of us, Lord, hear something that would help us today. Fill us with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. Over time, people have enjoyed days that caused them to exclaim, "This is the greatest day of my life." I remember stepping outside of the doors of the building back here, outside of my office, and then out the back doors as my granddaughter was getting out of her car. Not, she wasn't driving. Her mother was driving. But since she's only in first grade. And this was back when she was in kindergarten. And as she didn't know I was standing there. And I heard her get out of the car. And she said, "Oh, this is a glorious day." And I thought, well, I wonder what's going on in that child's life today. They probably got a starburst or something on the way in, you know. And those experiences, those greatest day of my life experiences, you know, they're very simple and common events that happen to children, to the day of extreme fun that a teenager experiences on an activity, to the day of matrimony for a young adult man and woman, to the day of a couple's first child's birth, to the day that a working man retires. And I'm sure we could go on and on. The greatest day of my life. When was the last time you enjoyed a day so much that you said, "This is the greatest day of my life"? Or, "This is one of the greatest days of my life"? Now, collectively speaking, if you had to choose one day in all of human history that was the greatest day for all of mankind, it would have to be the day that Jesus died on Calvary. That's what the Bible's talking about in verses 6, 7, and 8. "For when we were yet without strength..." Folks, we had no strength. No strength. Talking about what? Strength to be saved. Strength to save ourselves. "Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." You know, so there might be somebody die for a good man. And there might be some that would dare to die for a good man. Verse 7. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Collectively speaking, the greatest day in all of human history is when Jesus went to the cross and died on Calvary. When Jesus died on Calvary, He opened the door to free salvation for all of those who would trust in Him. Collectively, as mankind goes, it's the greatest day in all of history. Now, individually, the greatest day of a person's life is when they walk through the door that Jesus opened and trust Him as their Savior. There is no day any greater in any person's life than the day of their salvation. The day that you were born into the family of God. So as I begin the message this morning, I just want to ask the question, do you have such a day? Now, you may not remember the date. I was 18. It was a traumatic experience in my life because of how I'd been without God and so forth. And so I remember the very date. You don't have to remember the very date. I can tell you the time. I can tell you the place when I got saved by God's wonderful grace. You may not know the exact time, date, place, but you need to know that there was a day when you got born again. I've had people say to me down through the years, "I've been saved all of my life." Not so. Not so. Can't happen. Can't be. So it's against what the Bible teaches. All right? You're born into this world lost and apart from God. You need that day. You need that day, that moment in time, as they just sang about. When you come to Jesus Christ and trust Him, faith alone in Jesus alone. Faith alone in Jesus alone. Not Jesus in baptism, not Jesus in the church, not Jesus and hang on to the end. Jesus, that's it. In faith alone, Jesus alone. Now, if not, you're missing out on the greatest day of your life. He died for you. That is proof of His love for you. Might be somebody in the auditorium this morning wondering to themselves, you drove into church this morning or yesterday throughout a day of disappointment or something. You're wondering to yourself, does God love me? Folks, the proof of His love is in the fact that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. You don't have to worry about this. God love you. He showed that love by sending His Son to die when we were lost in the darkness of sin. Now, if you have experienced such a day, that great day of your life, then I want to ask you a question. What is the first thing you think of when you consider your salvation? It's the first thing that comes to your mind. For some people, it might be, "I have a home in heaven." And that's wonderful. That's great. I would think a lot of people's answer would be, "My sins were forgiven." And thank God for that. Thank God that when we get saved, our sins are forgiven. I love the song we sometimes sing in church here. I remember the days when I was bent low with the burden of sin and strife. I started singing in a message last week down in Florida at Brother Armand Dyer's as he was translating for me. And I wasn't thinking, and so I started singing. And then I remembered, man, I stood by him for 6 years up here. And so I looked at him quickly and said, don't sing. He said to me, don't worry. The building would have emptied out. I mean, Brother Jorge can preach, and he's a great guy, but God did not gift him with the, with the ministry of music. Man, I was standing on the platform like this. But we sing that song. And then Jesus came in and rescued me, and He gave me a brand new life. And now as I thank Him day after day for washing my sins away, it seems I can almost hear the voice of my blessed Savior say, you know the chorus, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them. Amen. Isn't that good? Yes, they're gone. We sing the song, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. That chorus, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of sins. That's wonderful. Home in heaven, that's wonderful. But people, that really is just the tip of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg. Salvation is much more. And not just because I said it. Not because I said it at all. Because the Bible tells us. And if you saw, if you paid attention in the verses here, in verses 9 and 10, you'll see the two words together, much more. Much more. And you read on down through the chapter, which we won't do this morning. I only have time for a couple of these. Much more. Much more. So Paul tells us that, you know, there were far more blessings than took place when we got saved than just the forgiveness of sins. I want to talk to you about a couple of them this morning. Number one, we were saved from wrath. Saved from wrath. Look at verse number 9. Paul said, much more than being now justified by His blood. Stop. What's he saying? Justified means what, folks? Just as if I'd what? Never sinned. This is talking about the moment we got saved, we got justified. Do you see the terminology he used there in verse number 9? Being now. That means immediately. That means right now. Bam! When we trust Christ as our Savior, His shed blood immediately justifies us, forgives us, cleanses us from our sin. It's immediate. It is now. I didn't know they were singing the song this morning. In fact, I had forgotten the group was singing. I don't remember the song. They had no idea. And they were singing in a moment of time. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. In that moment that we trusted Christ as our Savior, we were forgiven of our sins just as if we'd never sinned. It was immediate. It was now. Now, you know, grandparents are renowned for overlooking their grandkids' wrongs. I almost said that wrong, didn't I? Grandparents aren't notorious for overlooking their kids' sins. But they are notorious for overlooking their grandchildren's sin. Okay? You know, mom and dad go away for a day, overnight somewhere to celebrate an anniversary or a special occasion. Dad, mom, can you watch the kids? And grandparents don't say no. And so here come the kids, you know. And while they're there, they fuss with each other. And they won't eat their food. And they get into things that they should not. They eat the food. And, you know, you force them to eat and this doesn't taste like mommy's. Well, what's mommy feed you? Well, she feeds me a corn dog. Okay, well, you know what? We're going to do better than a corn dog. This isn't good. I don't like it. And they color on the walls. And they break things. And they spill. They spill nail polish on your hardwood floor. So how do you know all these things? And they misbehave, and they track sand all over the house. Mom and Dad come home. Did you have a good time? We had a great time. How were the kids? Oh, they were good. They were perfect. They were little angels. The little halos held up by two horns. Is that not how grandparents are? That's how grandparents are. That's how we are with our grandkids. I mean, it's a sad commentary, really. The grandkids are no better than our kids. But somehow we overlook our grandkids' wrongs. And you say, well, Pastor, are you saying that God is like some silly grandparent? No. Not at all. But I am saying this morning, because Jesus' blood was shed, and because we trusted in Him, the power of that blood forgives us and cleanses us from sin so that when God looks at us, it is just as if we'd never sinned. And that happens immediately. Look at my kid. Righteous. Much more than being now justified by His blood. But Paul says, wait a minute, there's something much more here that took place than just being justified. He goes on to say, in verse number 9, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. This is something that's coming in the future tense. In the immediate present tense, we're justified. But he says, wait a minute, salvation is much more than just presently being justified. Salvation means that you're going to be saved from wrath. We've been reading here about the love of God. But church, as much as God is a God of love, He is a God of wrath. Sad, but there's going to be a time when His wrath is going to be poured out on this earth. Poured out on people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 10, Paul said, we wait for Jesus to come from heaven, which hath delivered us from the wrath to come. John 3:36 tells us that the unbeliever has the wrath of God abiding on him. You start reading in the Bible and you learn and you read about the wrath of God. In fact, it's mentioned 5 times in the book of Revelation. And all 5 of those times are talking about that terrible 7-year period of time known as the tribulation period, a time of judgment, a time of God's wrath poured out on this earth and on people worse than has ever been before. You read about the 7 seal judgments, S-E-A-L, like something is sealed and they're on paper and each seal is broken, and every time a seal is broken, a judgment is poured out from God's wrath on planet earth. There's war. There's famine. You think this planet has seen war? You wait till God's wrath is poured out on this place. There's famine. There's death. In one seal judgment, 25% of the world's population dies. In one judgment. We're talking about the same God who gave His Son Jesus to die for our sin. In great love, loving mankind while we were yet sinners, lost and hopeless, that same God is a God of wrath as well. And one judgment is going to take the life of 25% of the world's population. And the Bible even tells us in the book of Revelation how it's going to happen. They're going to die by sword, by hunger, by disease, or by wild beasts. And it makes sense when you read previously about the famine. If there's no food to eat, what are the animals, the beast of the field, going to eat? 25%. Now you run the figures on that, people. There's over 7 billion people on planet Earth right now. How many are saved? It's a stab. I don't know. 1/7? 25%? I don't know. I don't know how many people on planet Earth are saved. If we go out of here, that may leave 6 billion, 5.5 billion left. Run the numbers on 25% of the world's population dies in one judgment, either by sword, hunger, disease, or wild beasts. And then great earthquakes that don't only shake the earth, but they shake the atmospheric heavens. Think about that. An earthquake that is so violent, it shakes the atmospheric heaven. When the seventh seal, first seal is open, second seal is open, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal, the seventh seal is open, and it's like a window on your computer. It's like a drop-down box on your computer. When you click one thing, eight or nine things open up below it. When you click on that seventh seal, if you will, then seven trumpet judgments open up. And those seven trumpet judgments are poured out. Hail and fire, ecological disasters. And the last three, trumpet judgment number 5, trumpet judgment 6, and trumpet judgment 7, are all called woe judgments. Grievous things. The Bible talks about one of those judgments being a devilish host unleashed on planet Earth, on humanity, where the angel takes the key to the bottomless pit, opens up the door to the bottomless pit, and some of those angels that were fallen in the original sin in heaven have been bound in that place, and they're going to be unleashed on all of humanity. Matt Gansamer, missionary in Argentina, we support. Just read his letter this week. He talked about going over and dealing with a young teenage lady and a friend of his that has a church. And the friend said, I've got a girl who is demon-possessed. Could you come over and help me? Matt went over and they banded together and prayed. What all they did, I don't know. But Matt said that demon, that devil manifested itself in that girl's words, her voice inflections, her attitude and behavior in the house or the office. Demon possession is real. And in the tribulation period, there's going to be this unbelievable, wicked, vile host of devils unleashed on. Are you listening this morning? And then there are seven vile judgments, horrible pain, heat, blackness, and I could go on and on. But people, look, when we came to Christ, we didn't just get forgiveness from sin. We received salvation from the tribulation period. We were saved from the wrath that's to come. You and I will never have to go through one moment of that awful time called the wrath of God. I don't think God's people even think about that anymore. Let me stop to ponder it. We will be delivered. We're delivered from that. Salvation is much more than the forgiveness of sins or a home in heaven. We are delivered from the wrath of God. It'll be so wonderful. It would be sad for those left behind who are related to us or friends to us. But people, personally speaking, if this sounds selfish, I'm sorry. I'm thankful I'm not going to be on planet Earth during the tribulation period. I'm delivered from that wrath. Wait a minute. It's also salvation from the most awful wrath of God that a person could experience, and that is hell. You want to know how awful that place was? Is? Will be? God didn't create it for mankind. You know how awful it is? It was created for the devil. It was created for his angels. God never created it for mankind. Never, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew. It's an awful, horrible place where the wrath of God is poured out on those who reject Jesus Christ for all of eternity. And folks, I can't wrap my mind around that. You can't wrap your mind around that. But it is said over and over and over again in Scripture. It is mentioned from the lips of Jesus Christ more than once. He warned about that awful place called hell. It is a place where the wrath of God is poured out on people through all of eternity. I've told the story before about the little 6-year-old girl in the bus ministry in Iowa who was caught in the fire in her home and was burned over 90% of her little body with second and third degree burns. and I had to go to the hospital up at University Hospital to see her. The most horrible experience of the ministry, 39 plus years now, is going to a burn unit. It's awful. When I'm walking in the burn unit, this scream from another room, and I come to find out that this young teenage girl had been burnt in the fire, and they were changing the wounds and her dressing, and she was screaming. And I will tell you something, friend, you want just a little bit of a taste of what hell's going to be like. It was awful. Made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And then to get in that little girl's room and look at her body and see that little thing burned over 90% of her body. Oh, it's awful. It's an awful place of God's wrath. But God never intended for anybody in this building to be in that place. He made it so awful because He made it for the devil. And so you've got this wrath of God poured out on the earth in the tribulation period. And this wrath of God poured out on Christ rejectors through all of eternity. And yet because I'm saved, because I'm saved, I don't have to ever be anxious of going through that time called the tribulation period. And I don't ever have to be anxious about being separated from God in the lake of fire forever. When I got saved, I got much more than forgiveness of sins. Way much more. I was saved from wrath. Saved from the wrath to come. And I want you to notice here, folks, look at the last two words of verse number 9. We shall be saved from wrath. What's the next two words? Who's that talking about? Jesus. We're saved from wrath to come through Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you just fell on your knees and said, "Oh God, thank You for all salvation. Thank You for saving me." Saved from the wrath to come. Much more. Salvation is much more. But wait a minute. Paul goes on to talk more about it in verse number 10. He uses the words "much more" to save us, to show us that we'll be saved from wrath. He also shows us that he also uses the words "much more" to show us that we will be saved to life forever. Look at verse number 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Now let me break this down for us a little bit this morning, if God will help me. Through Jesus' death, because He died, when we got saved, we went from enemies to friends. From enemy to friend. I don't know if you've stopped to think about it, how long it's been since you've thought about it, but think about it, folks. When we were unsaved, we were the enemy of God. Sinners lost in sin, without God and without hope in the world. And then salvation came through the death of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Paul said, that His death reconciled us to God. Now, let me X this out just a little bit for us this morning. All right. I got Brother Allen, I got Brother Bragg up here, Brother Mike. One of them's got to be God, and one of them's got to be a lost sinner. So all those that vote for... No, okay, all right, we won't. So one of them's got to be God, one of them's got to be a lost sinner. You're on the right hand, so we're going to let you be God. Brother Allen, come here if you would. Just stand right here. And Brother Bragg, as normal, you're the lost, wicked, ungodly sinner, okay? Kind of fits, doesn't it, brother? Amen? I'm just teasing you. Okay. I'm doing all this before your dad gets here. See, I can't use him like this after his dad gets here, okay? And his mom, more your mom. What do you do talking about my boy that way, right? Okay. According to Paul, he is his enemy. He's lost. Without him, without hope in this world. Lost. Okay? Elijah, come up here. Let me use you this morning. I'm going to use you because I know everybody can see you. Come up here. Amen? All right? Hey, I'm telling you something now. Some of you old-timers, don't let these shoes fool you, okay? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking of Elvis, aren't you, in Blue Suede Shoes? Okay, all right, I know what you're thinking. All right, so I'm having fun with Elijah this morning. Okay, so here we go. You are his enemy. But Jesus came and died. I want you, do you mind laying on the floor for me? Okay? Because after his burial, after his death, he was what? To prove that he died. So would you lay on the floor? Okay? So here we are. Actually, that's okay. So because Jesus died, and Brother Bragg, come around him here, here's the message of Christ, and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right hand. This sinner and his God are reconciled.
Amen.
Reconciled. How long does that take? A moment of time. Whoa, you just ruined my illustration. What are you doing? There, keep it up there. That was a false profession. In a moment of time, from enemy to friend. That's what the power of his death did. But Brother Bragg's still on earth. He's still got life to live. Poor Brother Bragg. You know, it took the death of Christ to reconcile him to God. What's it going to take to keep him reconciled to God? Well, he didn't stay in that grave. Come on, Jesus. Amen. He came back to life. And people, if the power of his death brought this enemy to God and made him a friend, the power of his life is going to keep that relationship intact. That relationship's not going anywhere because he lives. And the power of his life. Salvation is much more than just forgiveness of sins, much more than just a home in heaven. It is deliverance, salvation from the wrath of God in the tribulation period, salvation from the wrath of God in hell forever. But it is also much more in the fact that it took an enemy and made him a friend of God through the death of Christ. And it is the life of Christ, a living, breathing Jesus Christ, alive and well. And by the way, the longer time goes, it doesn't matter. He doesn't get old. He doesn't get weak. He doesn't get sick. He doesn't grow fatigued. He doesn't need a nap. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The life that has been in Christ and kept people reconciled to God will never diminish. It's as strong today as it ever has been. It is His life that keeps us reconciled to God forever.
Amen.
You can be seated. Thank you, fellas. Thank you, Elijah. Been reading the book about Samuel Adams. I forget the name of it. It might just be Sam Adams. And I've been reading about the founding of America. By the way, people hear the name Sam Adams today, the first they think about is a beer company. The truth of the matter is, Samuel Adams was a pretty decent, God-fearing, saved man. It's a shame how history has tainted revisionist history. And I've been reminded how those men gave their lives for the freedoms that you and I enjoy. I'm talking about Sam Adams, his cousin John Adams, George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. There's six or seven men that were crucial leaders, patriot leaders. Their death brought independence to America. They gave themselves. They pledged their what? Lives, fortunes, sacred honor. Sam Adams died in 1803. George Washington died in 1799. Ben Franklin died in 1790. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died on the same day, July the 4th. And James Madison died in 1836. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died 1826. Those men gave their lives for our freedom. They're still in the grave. What's happening to our freedoms? Are we losing them?
Mm-hmm.
We're losing them. You don't own your house. You think you own it? Don't pay the taxes. See how long you live there. Somebody told me about Mr. Governor up here trying to come up with a, I think maybe I told you, 18% tax if you sell your house. If you move out of the state, they keep all 18%. If you move within state, they keep 9%. So you have to pay to sell your house? Really? You know what's happening to our freedoms, folks? They're gone. They're leaving. They're flying out like a bird out of its nest. Well, they only have men like those six men, you know, those seven men, that spirit. Well, I agree. But now listen. Jesus' death brought us not only forgiveness. His death brought us salvation from the wrath to come. Much more than just forgiveness of sins. His life keeps us reconciled to God forever and ever and ever. His wrath is turned away and His love is settled on us for as long as Christ lives. Don't start looking for Him a tombstone anytime soon. I am reconciled to God by the power of His death. And I am kept there by the power of His life. When's the last time you fell on your face? Or sat in your car and the tears dripped down your cheeks and you said, Lord, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy, can we say, much more salvation? So rich and free. Praise God for forgiveness of sins. Praise God for a home in heaven. Paul said, praise God, no tribulation, no hell. And praise God, I am saved to that life forever. Forever. If I did what I wanted to do, I'd run around the building right now. I just want to run and have a spell. I'm glad I'm saved. Let's pray. Father, we love You. What great salvation. Thank You for loving us while we were yet sinners, lost and hopeless. Help us to appreciate and be grateful for the salvation that was given for us, made available to us. We rejoice in it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you saved? Are you thankful? You're saved. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I'm saved. It's been a while since I've really pondered the riches of my salvation. The Spirit of God kind of prompted me about, boy, oh boy, you know what? It's been a while since you've really been grateful that you're saved. God, speak to your heart this morning. Are you saved? God prompted you, hey, I did so much more for you than forgave your sins when you got saved. Pastor, God spoke to my heart this morning. Would you slip a hand in the air wherever you may be sitting today? Amen. Thank you. Put your hands down. Appreciate it. Is there somebody here that would say, I do not know for sure that I am going to heaven when I die? I don't know for sure if I've been saved. Talking about my sins being forgiven and the tribulation period and the wrath of hell. And I'm disturbed and I don't know that I'm saved. Can I pray for you? Not by name, but just ask God to keep ministering and speaking to your heart. If you're not saved, would you just slip your hand? Or if you're not sure that you're saved, just slip your hand in the air. I'm just going to ask the Lord to keep working on your heart and speaking to you over the next several days or weeks. Is there anybody like that? Could you just slip it up where I could see it? Nobody else has to see it. I'm looking. Just slip your hand in the air and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is there somebody here today who would say, I've been saved, but I've not followed the Lord in believers' baptism since I've been saved? Pray for me. Anybody like that today in our audience? Our Father, we're grateful. Grateful that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus while we were yet sinners to make salvation possible. It was the greatest day of our life when we got saved. Our sins were forgiven, immediately justified. What a thrill. But Lord, it was so much more. We are delivered from the wrath to come. Help us to have compassion on people around us that don't know Christ. And help us to appreciate the wonderful salvation that was much more than just forgiveness of sins. Help us to be thankful that we're saved. If there's somebody here today lost, I pray that your heart, that you will work on their heart. God, if there's somebody here that's not yet born into your family, please, may the thoughts of this morning's message be in their heart and soul. May they come to Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Many, many raised their hands this morning. I'm with you. How long has it been since you just fell on your face and said, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for my full and free salvation. Saved. Saved, my sins are all forgiven, my guilt is all gone. That's wonderful. But no tribulation, no hell, no eternal separation forever from God. And saved to that life eternally by the power of His life. If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved, don't fight. Don't let pride get the best of you. Surrender and submit yourself to God's work in your heart and come this morning and let somebody show you how to be saved. Be grateful from your seat. Be grateful from your pew. Let's be grateful.